The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Vox Markets. I am John Heumann, and I'm delighted to be joined again by Mo Khan, Chief Exec of HVivo. How are you doing, Mo?
I'm very well. How are you doing, John? You good?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. Looking forward to Christmas. But yeah, busy time still for you, even in the run-up to the festive season. And we've got a lovely RNS out this morning from you guys with not one but two bits of great news. A big contract win, 17 million, and sort of a very brief trading update. But let's start with the contract win. Full-service human challenge contract with an existing top five global pharma customer. Give us the highlights. What's this contract all about?
A pleasure. Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful news for us here at HVivo. This is a full service contract with a current client, a large pharma too. And one of the key differences between this and the others we signed is this is for actually an existing human challenge RSV strain, the Memphis strain. And now the Memphis strain has been used widely in a number of challenge trials that we have done. In fact, many of our clients have been able to get fast track designation from the FDA. In fact, one client has managed to get all the way to get a marketing authorization following a challenge trial with the same strain. And we were actually running out of supplies on this one. So it's good to see this client has come up and asked for this particular challenge strain. So it takes the normal steps in regards to conducting the full manufacturing services. After that, we will do a small dose confirmatory study because it's an existing challenge strain, doesn't require the full characterization study that we normally do. And then finally, we will run the full human challenge trial. The work will start almost immediately, the manufacturing part at least. And then the majority of the revenue will be recognized in 2024 and then in 2025. So yeah, absolutely. Great news for the company. And I think I've said this before to you as well. We've also decided to, you know, only RNS significant news. There's no point sending out too much news because then you lose, I think, the priority in the views. And there's so much news out there right now. We want to make sure that any news we do send out has an impact on our numbers and also hopefully on our share price.
Yeah, we'll talk about the numbers in a minute because there's some good news on that front as well. But going back to the trial, this is what I understand is a multi-cohort trial, which is different from the usual drug versus placebo approach. Can you tell us what that means and why you're taking this approach in this instance?
Yeah, so multi-cohort basically means that you got more than just the two arms. In a typical human challenge trial, you have an active arm and a placebo arm. And what you want to really determine is whether your drug works better than the placebo. The multi-cohort basically has different aims on top of those traditional aims. So one of the aims, for example, is that you're looking to see what dose is best for your drug. So not only are you running a placebo arm, but you're running maybe one or two or even potentially three different doses of that drug. So be able to see not only whether your drug works, but at which dose does the drug work at best. The second point to this also is that this also this study also has this what's called a triggering dose concept. So in other words, what happens is we are waiting for our volunteers to become infected, and the client wants us to wait for X number of days prior to giving them the dose of the drug. Now, this is there to mimic what happens in the field, because if you catch an infection, by the time you show symptoms and go and see your doctor, it's already 3, 4, 5 days prior to when you had your infection. So this delayed dosing of the drug basically mimics what happened in the field. So our clients are looking to see what effect the drug would have on the individual 2 to 3 days after they've caught an infection.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And I guess this is a relatively new approach then for you guys, given the way this has been announced. Is this multi-cohort approach sort of the future then? Is this where more and more of these human challenge trials are going to head?
I see both approaches, to be honest. I mean, the first one is very simple. Does my drug work? And that's a very easy one to determine just using two arms, placebo versus active. But the second arm gives you a lot more data. So not only can you use that data to de-risk your phase 3 program, but it also gives you really good data to optimize your late clinical development programs. And what this basically means is that not only are you de-risking the outcome of the phase III, but you're optimizing the design. In other words, what dose of the drug to give and what time point to give the drug. And this basically means you're giving the best chance for your drug to show a positive outcome in a phase III stage.
Yeah, so really, you know, part of that, helping your clients expedite that drug discovery process then.
Both expedite and de-risk,
Yeah,
absolutely.
yeah.
So the whole point of, you know, well, one of the points of a human challenge trial, of course, is to give the clients the best chance to be successful at phase III. So if we can show that the drug has a good efficacy signal, that's great. But if we can also show at what dose it has the best efficacy signal, well, that's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and the good news for shareholders, of course, is that this is translating into to very, very strong growth. You know, a big contract like this underpins that order book, which we've talked about before. But for this year, the numbers are looking good. So you've got to give us a small trading update in this, with more details to come in January. I presume there's only so much you can say right now, but give us a flavour of, you know, what's happening in terms of the numbers.
So yes, as we come closer towards the end of the year, of course, we are much more confident in our financials for the current year. We've previously given guidance both for revenue and for our EBITDA. We're pretty in line with our revenue guidance, but we think we'll beat our EBITDA guidance that we have provided before. So we expect our EBITDA margin, in fact, to exceed 20%, which of course is great news. And there's a number of factors that have impacted that, including, you know, operational efficiencies. But we will follow, as you say, more details in late January when we give the full trading update for 2023.
Yeah, I mean, you said that you talk of EBITDA margin is going to be ahead of the 20% mark, which is a great figure. In terms of the operational efficiencies, I guess the new state-of-the-art facility you're opening up in Canary Wharf is going to help improve that further.
Oh, absolutely. So my goal is that we should be able to see improvements in the margins. We should be able to recognize some of the operational efficiencies of having, you know, the quarantine facility on a single floor in one building and having a laboratory right next to it. So absolutely. We're also working on several other initiatives, which we'll talk about early in the next year, of how we're looking to expedite the trial conduct and also improve the efficiencies. But yeah, to your point, you know, this is just a continued positive trend. We continue to grow in our revenues, but also improving our EBITDA margins at the same time. I mean, that's a beautiful combination.
It is. It is. And I'm looking forward to hearing more detail in January. But in the meantime, there's a very sh happy shareholder here, and I'm sure there's many happy shareholders listening. Thanks so much for your time, Mo.
I'm glad to have you on board. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.